So it's not a particularly long book, but it can take a long time to read it. I don't mean to be disparaging. I'm not at all. It's just there are parts of it that are just a little bit heavy, and what it's about. It's just taking a look at the revolutions in science, physics, biochemistry, the other biological sciences that haven't really evolved as physics has evolved in the quantum world. But there are a lot of scientists in a lot of fields who are looking at it from a new and different perspective. And you probably heard of Stephen Hawking, who, you know, I mean, his great pursuit is the unified field theory. And it starts in the quantum world, but the applications just expand to every place. So the bottom line is, what is this field? Well, I would love to say that she presents a final answer here, and the unified field theory is clearly explained and it's there. However, that hasn't really happened yet. Now, there are a lot of evidences, a lot of proof that she presents. Now, some of the most important scientific discoveries, one by Newton that has to do with mass and inertia, has never been proven. But it's a foundational scientific formula. It's used as an assumption because everybody just knows that it works in the science field. They know it works. So it's used as an assumption. You know, if you remember in some of your basic math and geometry, you have things that are called assumptions. Sometimes there may be proofs for them, but they're not. But, I mean, or there may not be, and usually there aren't for assumptions. The assumption, it's an assumption because it's self-evident. But that's not really true of Newton's formula, by the way, except that you can apply it in so many things and it works. So you have all this scientific grappling for a unified field theory that we know works. You have all these things about missing matter and missing energies. 75% of the missing mass of the universe is supposed to be an energy that they haven't identified exactly where it is. Now, this is a lot of material. It's a lot of material. Well, some of the studies that she points to in here have given us evidence of where this energy might be. And energy, as you well know, is not readily visible. You don't see it. You see the results of it. But they've taken pictures of, and this is really fascinating if you're ever into looking on the web at something like this, because there are, I don't know how many pictures are out there, but there are a lot. They were just showing a couple weeks ago, one of the astronomy sites were showing connectivity between galaxies that are many, many light years away. And it's very difficult to see this connectivity because of the way light shifts in those kind of distances. But using some rather fancy radio wave photography, they saw these thin filaments that connect these galaxies. Now, a number of years ago, they photographed those filaments within our own galaxy and extending out to neighboring galaxies. So, but that's actual physical matter. Extraordinarily dense, but it's there. Now, the difficulty is you can't always see it or find it, but they're finding more and more of these filaments that connect things, which is rather curious, but unnecessary to the total explanation of everything. At least it seems that it is. The fact is that the filaments of energy, or the presence of energy between everything, is always there. And that's what the field is fundamentally about, is the substructure that connects everything. Now, the dream of the physics in the world today is to prove that mathematically. It may never be proven mathematically, I don't know. But what they are proving is much like they proved Newton's theorem on inertia and mass and movement. That is, you know, it proves itself in the demonstration of what of its results. And so it may be, you know, a lot of true things can't be proven. So what you do to prove them from scientific is to do everything that you can to disprove them. So when ultimately you can't disprove it, it becomes accepted as truth. And that's just kind of the way science works sometimes. It's not always clear for the ordinary person to understand it, nor, might I add, clear for the scientists to understand it, but it takes quite a bit to get them to accept it. So you've got this substructure, and what it's called in the scientific community is the zero-point field. And we're gonna come back to that in the second half of our thing. We're going to read a few select passages in here that touch on some of the key points. And we're going to come back to that zero-point field and kind of see what it means to us. So what is in that zero-point field are waves. Now, in order to kind of follow what this book is talking about, it's good to be able to visualize waves. So I'm going to go to the easel in just a minute, and we're just going to get a very down and dirty physics lessons on waves. And that'll help you, I think it will help you visualize what's going on, and what, so that when you read some of this stuff in the scientific explanation start out beginning, and then say the word wave, you got something to visualize, you know. And then we'll look. So now it's so good to have you guys back today. I'm going to tell you, it really is. We've been doing a series for several weeks now, several months, where we didn't have our music in, and it worked, but we missed it.
And I just want to say something. Michael Bowers and Siobhan Quinn, for those of you who haven't been here when they were here before, are some of our very favorite musicians. Michael started coming before he even met Siobhan, and so we have an investment in their being together, because we watched the development of their love and marriage and musical co-creation, and it is such a gift to hear the way their music continues to evolve and to feel the connection that we feel when you come back.
So yes, indeed.
For being here.
In addition to the music that they're going to be playing, they're actually doing, and you'll see why visually in a few minutes, they're doing a marvelous wave demonstration.
Actually, this song is about cycles.
It's all waves.
Cycles are waves.
For every cold, dark night, for every thunderstorm, there is a calm new light, and I say, let it come. For every
every dream that's lost, there is a harbor home. And I say, let it come.
I say, let it come. For every breaking heart, for every ounce of pain,
there is a healing start. I say, let it come.
I say, let it come. Let it come between us like a soothing breeze, like a spray of hope from the dove's feet. And in this moment, we are face to face.
You have no idea how perfect that is for an opening song. This feel that I'm talking about that's out there, that is waves, it's always in balance. For every wave that carries a broken heart, there's a wave that carries a balm. And that's the miracle of the feel. Oh, I guess I need to bring this way. I just want to help you visualize waves a little bit. Don't be using those notes. You'll be examined later. Now, this is a slight simplification, but... Well, maybe it's a huge simplification. You can just look at this green line as a medium. You can think of it as one of Michael's guitar strings. If it helps.
Can everyone see on that
side? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll back off whenever I draw something to make sure everybody sees it. Okay. Now, this is a simple depiction of a wave. And this is the medium it's moving through. It might be air, it might be a solid wall, it might be the guitar string. And this is the crest of the wave. Think of it like a... There are other terms that describe a wave, like a wave on an ocean is a transverse wave, and it's moving only on the top, and the medium underneath it is moving, like that. So, but when it's moving through the string, the entire string is moving. When it's moving through a solid wall, there is a molecular disturbance through that solid wall. You don't have the ship like you do in water, but you have molecules that are moving with it. The wave itself is, to say the least, somewhat insubstantial. But it is a thing that exists. It is a disturbance. So the field is a collection of wave echoes, basically. You can say tiny waves. So just to... This is when you start reading this stuff about waves, you can paint these mental pictures in your mind of what's happening. So this is the crest of the wave. It's not important that you remember any of this. And you can kind of think of that as the positive side of the wave. And this is the trough of the wave. I don't know how to spell trough. T-R-O-U-G-H. I didn't know what it's called. I know it's not T-R-O-F because I got a D for that. You can think of that as the negative side of the wave. And then this is a distance line right here. This is the height of the positive side of the wave, which would also be the same as the depth of the negative side of the wave at its highest point. And that's called the amplitude. You've heard amplitude modulation, frequency modulation.
Oh, yeah.
those, you know, AM and FM, you know. And it just refers to the part of the wave that's being changed. That's all.
Now so is amplitude the height plus the depth, or just one?
No, it's just one or the other. Because we'll come back to that in just a minute. This little point from here, the top of the trough, over to the exact same place on the exact same spot, the next exact spot, which would be if you measured the total. Now, by the way, all through here, each of these lines is amplitude. That's where the amplitude changes just a little bit. The heights of the wave changes, but from identical points to identical point, that is the wavelength that we're talking about. So you got all sorts of, that's one, or it can be called one cycle. Just like when a wheel goes around, when it's gone completely around one time, that's one cycle. That's why they call it a bicycle, because they got two wheels going around, and each time when, I don't know if that's true or false. Wavelength or one cycle. Okay, is everybody with me so far?
Yeah.
Nobody's asleep?
No.
Isn't this exciting?
Absolutely.
So, okay, now the next term that comes to play is frequency. What's that? That's how many times a second a cycle repeats in a wave as it moves along. So if you get, and you'll usually hear that in hertz. You know, you say 10 megahertz, 107 megahertz on your dial. Well, all they're doing is telling you the frequency. This is how it can happen. It really doesn't mean anything to anybody except that this is a wavelength that they're capturing and using to push out their broadcast. Now, here is the really curious part. And I'm going to have to tell you, before I mention it to you, you cannot ask any questions. Well, I don't have any answers. Now, when a radio wave comes out, it's coming out like that. Now, it's also, I'm going to get to the exciting part in a minute. But a radio wave, you know, you'll see it drawn in some diagrams looking like this. And this is the antenna that's pushing out the waves, and it's going out in all directions. So, you know, you could draw the little waves in there, but it'd get really cloudy. And but it's just these little circles will sometimes in the diagram actually represent the wavelength. But wavelengths can vary to be going, you know, to like millions or gigahertz you see on telephones. This is a 5 gigahertz one. That's a wave that's coming out of there pretty dang fast. You've got some waves that come out really slow, move really slow, and they're so big, the wavelength is so long, that it takes an antenna sometimes miles long to capture that wave. Waves that are used to transmit sound between submarines. You ever wonder how they do that? Well, when I'm finished, you'll still be wondering. But the thing is, it's a very low frequency thing. And they may be towing a wire behind them that's 2 miles long just to capture that frequency. But the point is, there's a huge variation in the different kinds of waves. And when you drop, you know, some are just enormously short and fast. Some are focused. Take them. So you look at a microwave antenna, and you know it's this little antenna sitting up here, and then over here, maybe 20 miles away, is another one. But it's like the little laser light on your garage door. They have to be in alignment. That wave is so focused, it isn't going out to every place else. Now, it doesn't stop when it hits that antenna. It keeps on going. But the antenna captures the results of it. Radar waves. Tremendously intense things. I was telling Connie this morning, I had to learn years ago about radar waves because I worked with, oddly enough, radars. You walk in front, and there's an old American missile system called Nike Hercules. You may have heard of it. They don't exist anymore. They've been replaced by more modern, smaller, easier to carry things. But one of the big dangers in working with that system is you could not walk in front of the antenna when it was beaming because it would cook you within seconds. Absolutely fatal. A microwave, you remember some of the names on them used to be called radar wave oven. You actually saw it written on it. It's really what it is. Microwave is a kind of radar wave, and it doesn't feel hot to touch it. When you stick your hand in a microwave that's running, it's not going to feel immediately hot. But as soon as the waves start to penetrate your skin and cause that disturbance of the molecules, and it's the water molecules in your skin that they're disturbing violently, you're cooking with microwave. I mean, you are physically cooking. And so that's the differences in the kinds of waves that you have. Now, what's really cool about waves is they carry stuff, right? So this is your favorite FM dial right here, and it's calling for every broken heart. It's riding on that damn lid. Now, this is where the questions stop. I don't know how it does it, but it's doing it. I do know that television takes at least two sets of waves, one to carry the verbal and one to carry the video. And when carrying color video, now maybe Dave can explain how we used to say in the military it's FM, and that has nothing to do with frequency modulation. It just has something to do with a particular type of magic.
We got your wave.
See, you don't have to say anything. The waves carry it for you. So, waves are cool things. But the fact is, they leave echoes of themselves. They blend in with the ambience of the field and diminish. But they don't necessarily go away entirely. Now, okay, if waves take a medium, how do they travel through space? Isn't space supposed to be empty? Mm-hmm. Well, as they discovered, it's not quite as empty as they thought. There's a lot in space, a lot of particles, and there are a lot of waves floating around out there. Now, the waves, the ambient waves of the field get very, very small. So they don't generally disturb things, but things passing through them disturb them. So this energy in which the waves are existing, the ambient waves are existing, is disturbed further by the addition of other waves, but they're able to plunge through because they have a medium to move through. They do have the medium. If we had what was called a true vacuum, then the wave would have to be carrying its medium, which is what light does. Light is not just pure wave. It's a mixture of wave and particle. So it carries its own medium, so it's just kind of cool like that. But it does get a little, from the physics standpoint, it gets a little complicated. But just knowing this much, you can kind of visualize what's going on. Some waves carry their medium. Light's the only thing that comes to mind. But there are probably others. You know, I don't know. So that's just a little bit about waves that can help you. Now, there's the first law of thermodynamics that says matter can neither be created or destroyed. Mm-hmm. But it can change. It can shift between being what we think of as physical matter and energy. So the direction of science today is to say that matter doesn't actually exist. Everything is energy, and what exists in what we would call the physical realm of matter is simply the coagulation of energy. And it does make sense when you start looking at what energy is all about. It's part energy is, you know, the mix of particles and waves, and it's but it doesn't make a damn bit of sense. Why did I say it really makes sense? It doesn't really. But the fact is, it does. That's just the way it is. And that's, and the formulas that mathematicians have worked out kind of prove that. We know that to be so because long before physics started showing this up, the mystics of our past and other people of our ilk have known that there is an interconnectedness to the whole universe. We may not be able to describe it in the terms of physics, but the fact is, and I was thinking about this, and it just damn near brought me to tears listening to the music, and might if I start talking about it too much, but there's a solution to everything. There's a right path to everything, and it exists, and it's there, and we just have to reach out and touch it. Now, I didn't mean to reach out and start making applications right now, but, you know, some of the dreadful parts of all this theory have resulted in some of our modern science as nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. You know how much material is in a nuclear weapon that blows up and creates that huge freaking... You know, in most cases, it's just about a handful. It's just about a handful. And, you know, it's just sitting here in this little shielded ball in a ring are all these conventional explosives that are all targeted at it. Now, I'm not telling you enough to tell you how to build a nuclear weapon.
Darn.
So don't bother taking copious notes. But when these things go off, and they all go off at exactly, no plus or minus anywhere, at the same time, target into that, they create the kind of pressure, force, and heat to cause reactions at the atomic level, at the smallest level, that when those reactions, this is already an unstable compound that's in here. It's the electrons going around it are erratic. They leave at 2 times, and that's where you have talk about radiation that's coming from anything that's radioactive material. It's coming out all the time because it's an unstable compound. But by using the right kind of force and bringing these together, you really make it unstable. You make it come apart. And the smallest amount of matter coming apart releases huge quantities of energy. And not just in the form of particles. There's not that much particle there, but it's wave activity, and it's the kind of wave activity that's producing heat and destruction on top of it. When you use, there are some types of nuclear weapons that may or may not exist anymore that, you know, detonated in the air and go off, produce virtually nothing but wave, so that everything on the ground underneath it that's living is killed, basically cooked. And the real estate is not radiated, and it's not burned up, and it's not blown apart. It's just like a huge microwave burst in the air. It comes down and cooks everything except the cockroaches and really mean people. So that's, that's waves doing that. So you got enough waves. But as you read this book, when you understand it, it's talking about waves. Now, what's really cool is that, and we'll read some little passages in a second. In the second part of the thing, we'll read some passages from it, is the implications in the biosciences, which has been a little bit slow to grab. But it seems it turns out that, you've heard of people who read auras and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that everybody's body, indeed everything that's alive, is emitting waves. It turns out that inside your body, cells are communicating with waves. Now get this, light waves. Now, I don't know that I've ever seen light waves coming off of anybody, but, I expect it does happen almost. Now, these are light waves. Most light waves we don't see. They occur at various ends of the light spectrum, and we don't see them. Sometimes animals see them. But maybe that's how auras are seen, is that people are able to tune in, not with a third eye, but their real eye that's capable of adjusting and is able to see that frequency that's around that person. And so, or maybe it is with a third eye. I don't know. That's unimportant. But the point is, they probably really do exist, because everything that is alive is emitting. Not only that, many things in the process, you've probably heard the old saying, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny.
Mm-hmm.
Who's heard that.
That?
You've heard that?
I have heard that.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. I don't know what you think, I've made it up. No. It just popped, just popped into my head from a biology class about 3 or 4 decades ago. But it basically says that from the onset of fertilization through, you see various points in the physical history of that thing being shown again in the fetus. Sometimes the fetus, as you look at it at so many days, looks more like a tadpole or a frog, mm-hmm. or something unnamed. So it's saying that it goes through it. Well, they have been able now to show that in plants and primitive animals, they can actually photograph the wave emissions from them. And they photograph certain, like there's a particular kind of salamander where it's really obvious on it. The salamander is still in the egg, but this almost a Curlian thing around it is the size of that salamander is going to be. It's a shape and everything. So they call this a morphic field. And everything supposedly has this. Everything that's alive has this. Every seed has a morphic field. That's it. You ever wonder how the heck does DNA know what to do? You take DNA out of your fingernail or your hair or your butt, and it looks like the same DNA that they take out of your heart or your brain. Now, how does it know at any given point it's there? Make a heart. Well, they're taking a serious look at now at these morphic fields that exist. The field knows everything. The field knows everything. So how do some people get born with 3 arms or 2 bodies? I don't know the answer to that. And maybe the snapshot got made at the wrong time. I don't know. Or the lens was dirty somewhere. I don't know how that sort of thing happens, but it doesn't take away from the fact that morphic fields exist and that they're providing information about how things are supposed to work. And things change. Now, in my mind, that's not too big of a problem. You say, well, how does this account for evolution? Well, I can't answer the question scientifically, but I know that the information is in the field, and things change because of that information. But it's just curious. This is all waves. So all this little talk was to help you visualize things as you read this book and think in terms of waves. I thought maybe for the second hour, but we're not going to do this, that we might do sort of a little graphic exercise, and so you can you know, draw your waves and put things on the waves that you wanted to be on there, and then draw that, you know, access that wave through your thought process. But that's a little more of a complicated exercise, I think. That would be an exercise Connie could manage, but I decided it'd probably be better if we just read some passages and had some fun with it. So, can't read my notes, did you?
No, thanks.
So the zero point field is just this wave background, this background of energy that's everywhere. And these waves that are happening, that, you know, everybody's emitting one. Everybody knows that you emit brain waves. And there's been a lot of hype and a lot of articles about it. But what they've really discovered is it's not just your brain that's emitting waves. Your whole body's emitting waves. Everything is emitting waves. Everything is signing its name to the background. Everything that is emitting waves, because these waves, let me see if I just by some happenstance wrote it down more elegantly. Yeah, medium undulates, that's not exactly elegant, is it? But what's happening is that as you emit waves, as everything emit waves, it's creating a disturbance in the background. Now, it doesn't ever completely go away. It becomes absorbed by the background, which the waves have gotten very, very tiny. So, if that's true, and mind you, no, it's not been signed up by all of the scientific community yet, but there are evidences that support it. If that's true, there's an awful lot of memory out there. An awful lot of memory. And you know, these waves, waves don't actually collide. You know, you'd think with waves moving everywhere, they don't actually collide. But they do interact with each other. They don't actually collide because they're not substance or matter in the way we think of things. But they do interact with each other. And sometimes the interaction is amplification. What happens? Oh, let's see. Can we do this yet? Yeah. I'll show you a little thing here. Everybody's seen this. This is not going to be new to anybody. But I only brought four glasses, so I'm not going to give them to everybody. But and I'm not going to fill them with anything to drink now.
Well, shoot.
So,
to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad.
Dishwasher. I brought O's just in case
Gotcha.
Okay. So they're not really dirty, they're just dishwasher ruined.
Okay.
Now, everybody's heard the crystal bowls and the beautiful harmonies you get. And you've probably heard people fill these things up with water and get various notes and that sort of thing. You know, it's kind of cool. So dip your finger in your water and wet your end of your finger. We're just going to do a little wave demonstration. But you may need to wet your finger just a little bit. And just gently start rubbing the top of your glass. Now, this is just me doing it, but I want to get all of us doing it so you can see. And I don't want you to put water in the glass. Take the water out of your glass. I want you on the same frequency as me. You'll understand why. It would make a slight difference, but not much.
Okay.
Lay it flat on it. Don't do it on the end of your finger. Uh-huh. Lay it flat. Are you doing it? Okay. Now, with all four of us doing it, the volume goes up considerably. Considerably. Even if one is coming along... Yeah, you got it. Even if one is coming along lower than the others, what happens when all of these are coming off at the same frequency and the same wavelength, the sound goes up. Now, it would be possible to produce a wave that was counter to it that would actually reduce the would reduce the volume a little bit. Wouldn't kill the wave, but it would reduce the volume. If you put another wave here that's running parallel with this thing.
Can't see that.
You can't see that?
No.
No. Okay, we'll do it with... Don't confuse this with the guitar string. What happens here when you run these together is that you get here these things, the amplitude adds.
Can you back up a little?
The amplitude adds. So you've got these lines here. So it's at each point, at each same point on the thing, the amplitude lines add. So it increases the size of the wave. It strengthens it. So, and whenever a wave comes across where it's coming across at the trough, like that, the interference is called a negative interference. And so this member is a negative side of the wave, and that's the positive side. So when they come together and add up, it's actually diminished. I don't know if that matters about anything, but it just helps to understand, to visualize how volume occurs. And what happens in amplification is that electronically, the waves are multiplied. So they get louder. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, you have to be a wizard to do that, though, to build amplifiers and that sort of thing. Usually done by people who don't talk much. They're too smart to talk to ordinary people. It's fascinating stuff. The whole wave theory, a lot of lives have been dedicated to it. So everything emits, not just everything that's alive in particularly emits to a greater degree. So what time is it here? Where are we?
It's 5:12.
Oh, so it's time for a break. Oh, gosh. Sorry.
I'm not. Thank you.
Okay. We'll come back and after the break, and we'll start off with some more wave demonstration in a very beautiful way, and then we'll do some select reading as much as we have time for. I've got about 4 hours worth marked here. We'll let you know. I think we can, and wherever we are, I'll, at a given point, I'll skip to the last thing, because all I want to do is hit a few highlights in the book. They're just damn cool.
Yeah. Thank you.